Rukmini's Golden Jubilee as head of this center,
and also to celebrate her birthday. That's to say, we are celebrating that a whole day long. So I hope you will survive. Well, of course, I will not begin with a speech, but I just have to begin with a few announcements. There will be a number of people who will say something, and they are asked to limit their contribution to 5 minutes. Because otherwise we don't see how we will get ready in the morning. And there will also be some music, some short pieces of music. We begin with a piece of music that will be the Sea by Siegfried and Kuska and Reinhold Arndt. That's one thing. Then there have come a number of congratulations from everywhere. Some of them have already been mentioned at the opening meeting. There are still some more. A telegram has come from Kalakshetra, wishing all success, Jubilee celebrations. Kindly convey respectful greetings to Mrs. Arundel from Parpantasarathi. And I don't think the name is right, it's correct, but that is what stands in the telegram. And staff of Besant Arundel Senior Secondary School, principal. Then there is an other telegram that came this moment. Congratulations, love, and warmest wishes from the Danish section. Signed, Marion Dennis. And there is a card. I can't read the name. Mogul? Mogul, something like that. I don't know. I can't read it at all. That is the few congratulations. Certainly, there will come some more in the course of the day. Sorry? Huh? And yes, of course, there are more. Yes, there was also a telegram from Shankara and from Kalakshetra. Rukmini suggested that there might be taken a group photo that might be done after this meeting. After this meeting, we shall have also the planting of a tree, an almond tree, in the Garden of Remembrance by Rukmini. We might, when we leave this hall, perhaps just have the group photo here and then go to the Garden of Remembrance. And this is for those who have an apparatus to take the photo, you see, because we have no official photograph here, photographer. Anything else? Oh, yes, there are a few practical things still. Also, greetings from Fanchanton at Canada, Maria Nobre Santos, Portugal, Sankara Menon, I mentioned already, Joy Mills, United States, and Mrs. Meram Dalla in Bombay. That is this. And just a few announcements further for those who have not been here before. Sunday evening, after the lecture of Rukmini Devi, Francis Brunel will show slides on Tibet. Monday afternoon, that is, today is the 18th, it will be the 20th, at 15 hours, at 3 o'clock p.m., there will be a lecture by Dr. Hugh Gray, General Secretary of the English Section of DS. And Wednesday morning, that is the 22nd, at 10:30, Gul Minwella will speak to us, as in the program, and at 11:15, Peter Hoffmann. I think these are the things, so I now call upon the musicians to start here first thing.
Dear Rukmini Devi, as regional bishop of the Netherlands and as vicar of the Chapel of St. Michael and of Angels, it is my privilege to convey to you, in the name of the Church, our heartfelt congratulations with this special day. Also, the president of the Central Board of our province has asked me to speak on his behalf and of the Central Board to convey their congratulations. Bishop Adriaan van Brakel also asked me to congratulate you for him because he cannot be here because of illness. The Church has always occupied a central place in the center. It was with the Church Bishop Wedgwood started here, and it was the first instrument of power which functioned here. Later, other activities were started and had their permanent place in the center, next to and on equal base as the Church. So the center got a more universal character. But because of the daily services, the Church kept its place as powerhouse, as it was often called by you. Also, the second head of our center, Bishop Erindale, gave his full attention to the work, taking an active part during his stay here and stimulating people to attend. And I personally have the privilege to wear his cross ring and use his crozier. When you took over his place as head of the center, the Church had always had your protection, for which we are very grateful. The Church is dedicated to Saint Michael and all angels. It is said that the coming epoch will be under the special care of this archangel. So the Church work here has its special task to stimulate the forces for a new era. Cooperation between angels and men is pointed out to be one of the facets of life which is coming to the fore in the time to come. The ceremonies of the Church are apt to stimulate that cooperation. Only, as Professor van der Stok pointed out, we men must first learn to become less self-centered and understand better the special keynote the Creator gave us to fulfill self-sacrifice. Only if we live as we should, that cooperation can get its full shape for the welfare of the world. May the Church in this center, under your guidance, be able to fulfill properly the task given to her, and may the blessing of the Lord be always with you.
It is in the name of Freemasonry, one of the activities also here in this center, that I congratulate you very much with the 50 years work in this center. And the most puissant Grand Commander, Mrs. van Linsen, has asked me to give also her congratulations. She was sorry not to be here, because she had another appointment and she couldn't change that. Perhaps, Rukmini, you have never had the opportunity to really work with this large number, 8012 Serapis here in Huizen, practically, because you were always very busy with all kinds of things, and there are so many other activities also here in the center. But with your thought and your feeling, you have always sustained the work for which we are very happy and thankful to you. This lodge is working here in the center. It is a lodge of the center, and it is a lodge working for the center. In Sydney and in Adyar, you have cooperated in Freemasonry when you were young. And then, in other parts of the world, you have been traveling with Brother George, where you could attend a meeting you did just to help the work and to bring light wherever it was asked and where it was possible. But it is always that you give your sustaining for all the kinds of work, for all the activities with your thought and feeling. And later, when your work started at Kalakshetra, it was of course impossible to be present physically. There again, it was your thoughts and feelings. And I think that thoughts and feelings form a certain thread that passes through all the activities, through all the relations. It is the great thread that binds all together, in which we all are one. And this is one of the great secrets also of Freemasonry, because it lies deep in our inner, most inner. There where silence and where is no word at all, there we are one. As Freemasonry works with symbols of many, I want to congratulate you in the name of the Lodge Serape, with one of the craft lodges that runs white hole, of the chapter, the red one, the yellow one of the Ariopa stage, and the, at last, the three white horses of the many congratulations, and thank you for all the work.
On behalf of the board of the Dutch section of the TS, I like to congratulate you with this double celebration. It's a little difficult for me because I'm still a young member of the TS, so we cannot share many memories together. I cannot look back in the past, but perhaps we can find each other in the present. You are an artist specialized in dance. And dance is movement, it is expression. Expressions in movement of the things who are inside. And I am, in my own way, a dancer too. In dance, no step is like the other. Even when it is the same dancer, even when it is the same dance or steps, it will all be, always be different. So, I think also if theosophy, it's like dancing. Every moment is different from the other. And no moment can be the same. There is no moment like the other, nor in the past, nor in the future. Only that, what's expressing itself, will always be the same. I hope and wish you will be here, the head from the center, for many, many more years, so we can have the time to meet each other and perhaps to know each other better. I'd like to give you these flowers.
Steve Knight of the Dutch Round Table asked me to speak on this day on his behalf, as he himself is still away on holidays with his wife and three little sons. I'm happy to accept the request, of course. So I'm here to convey the hearty congratulations from all the Round Table members in Holland to Rukmini on her 80th birthday. We all think of you with love and gratitude for having been so many years our senior knight and all that it implied. Though you have retired from this function 2 years ago, you are still in our hearts. We will always remember the happy occasions when you were present on one or more days during our summer camps. It was very special to us when our senior knight participated in a ceremony. How we enjoyed the remarkable stories about animals, Rukmini told us. One of the most important events was the inauguration of the new Besant Hall, where we are together now, during a special round table ceremony with many young members attending. Rukmini put this hall into use. I bring this to our memory, because we are still very proud of that. We feel happy that the Round Table has its own place in this international center. The center regularly gives facilities for our work, not only for the table working here in Huizen, but also for national and international manifestations. We are still very grateful that Rukmini gave her consent to perform our ceremonies as they were shaped after the war to be more suitable and strongly changed to the strongly changed and still changing ideas and mentality. We are convinced that our ceremonies, as they work now, will serve this purpose in many years to come. On behalf of our members, Rukmini, I thank you for all you gave us during the time that you were our senior knights, and we hope to have you in our midst many a time.
Link officer of this center since many years, I feel very happy to be able to speak also to you. Because when I came first here in 1925, the time when Annie Besant still was here, and the smile of Dr. Arundale and of Bishop Wedgwood was here. It was a wonderful time. And from that time, you became to me my spiritual mother. And here, then became my spiritual home. And you have given us such a wonderful example to be active. You have established the Animal Welfare Board in India. You have mentioned the Theosophical Adopt Service. And I am glad that in 1968, when John Code asked me to shoulder this work for the European countries, that all these humanitarian lines, we were active together on all these different congresses and World Vegetarian Congresses. I would like to speak about the next step we have to do, because even I said that it would be the inner problem to solve the world problem. It seems to me it's not enough. We must make the next step to share our experiences with the younger generations, with all those who are seeking, who are suffering. And in that way, you have given us such a wonderful example. And also on the artistic lines. And I think it is important to change the public opinion by contacting all those people who are in the government and so on the educational side. And I can say from my own experience that we have some success. During these last 60 years, I was active as a food chemist by profession on the vegetarian line. I have solved for myself the food problem, but the world hunger problem must be solved only if we contact these people who have some dominion on this thing. So I thank you that you have given us this wonderful example to be active on all these different lines, on the line of art, on the line of animal welfare, on educational lines. And in this way, I am very happy to have also your noble example.
Vegetarian Society, I am delighted to congratulate you with your jubilee, and I wish to express our admiration and gratitude for your efforts for vegetarianism, not only in your own country, but all over the world. Working for vegetarianism remains as necessary as ever. The way in which mankind is wont to treat the animal kingdom needs much improvement. You live in a country which boasts a long tradition of vegetarianism, and you have succeeded in reviving many old values. Our society, however, has had to build up from scratch. I have to apologize for telling about my own life when speaking about the vegetarian society in the Netherlands, but my life has influenced the work of our society for more than 40 years. I was born in a vegetarian family. As a medical student, we had to perform vivisectional tests. I may have been the first student who refused participating in them. However, when the professor learned that I was a vegetarian, he exempted me from the tests. During our studies, we didn't learn much about nutrition. We were only told that a person needs 120 grams of protein daily. My mother and I checked this in our own healthy family, and we found that we got less than half that quantity. I then recognized that the science of nutrition at that time was at fault. After receiving my degree, I asked myself what I should do now. The entire medical discipline is built on vivisection. Medicines are discovered through vivisection, and by law, each medicine has to be tested by vivisection before it can be admitted for use on human beings. So I had to find a different way. And I then turned to the science of alternative nutrition, and I had the privilege to work and study in the clinic of Dr. Birger Benner in Zurich in Switzerland. Dr. Birger had discovered by chance that great healing power of uncooked food. He was an excellent physician and by his great successes became renowned all over the world. Amongst his patients were famous people, one of whom was the writer and poet Rainer Maria Rilke. After a successful cure, he wrote to Dr. Birger, The cure in your clinic is a turning point, German and Wendepunkt, in my life. At that time, Dr. Biertje happened to be pondering a title for a monthly magazine he intended to commence. In it, he planned to promote his ideas, since his colleagues mocked him and forbade him to publish in their periodicals. Suddenly, Dr. Biertje knew the name. He would call his magazine The Turning Point, Der Wendepunkt. Another famous patient of Dr. Biertje's was Krishnamurti, who had a relapse of his health in 1956 and spent some time in the Biertje clinic, where he intended to return later. However, after a holiday in OJ, where he adhered strictly to Dr. Biertje's prescriptions, he felt so well that the second visit to the clinic was no longer needed. Recently, I heard that you also know the clinic, and that you have friendships with one of the doctors you met there. It was also a great pleasure for me to work in Dr. Biertje's clinic. In addition to the diet, the patients were treated with light, fresh air, water, sun and exercises, and occasionally underwent psychotherapeutic treatment. He had indeed created a holistic therapy. We in Holland tried in our vegetarian society not only to give the people the advice to omit their meat, but also to follow a healthy diet. And it may have been that we have succeeded in that. Last year, Professor Den Hartog, the great man of official nutrition science, published a book named Look Nutrition. And in it he wrote the following. It has been proven beyond doubt that the diet of the vegetarians in our country is much healthier than that of the people eating mixed foods. Truly a good testimonial from the official school. There is no doubt that the number of vegetarians is growing steadily, especially among the young. But we should realize that there is still a lot of work to be done on behalf of the animal kingdom. So we cannot yet stop and rest on our laurels. The work must be continued. Let us hope that many younger ones will take our tasks over. As a token of our appreciation for your work, the Netherlands Vegetarian Society has asked me to give you a booklet named The Vegetarian Passport. The passport is invented by one of our younger members. Many vegetarians encounter difficulties in explaining their diet when traveling abroad. In this passport, wishes regarding a vegetarian diet are presented in no less than 70 languages, many of which you and I are not even able to read the letters of. We hope you and many others will enjoy the juice of the vegetarian passport with pleasure and success.
Beloved Rukmini, I have been asked, and I find it a very great privilege, to say a few words of felicitation to you on behalf of the Montessori movement. First of all, I would like to bring to you the greetings of Mrs. Ada Montessori and of the Association Montessori Internationale, which is located in this country, and from where the Montessorians all over the world derive their guidance and inspiration. It was Dr. Arundale who had the vision to invite Dr. Montessori to visit India at a very critical time in the history of the world. She came at his invitation in 1939, just a little before the war broke out, came with the intention of giving one educational course in this country for the first time in this method. But because of the outbreak of the war, she and her son, Mario, could not return to Europe for the next 7 years. And so it became a great opportunity and a great privilege for the Indian subcontinent to have this marvelous privilege and opportunity to contact the principles of the Montessori method from its own originator. Dr. Montessori started her work in 1907 in Italy. And for all these years, this vast subcontinent had remained more or less deprived of the benefit of what she had to give on behalf of the child. To her, her work was not a method, but it was a spiritual work. She called the child the little Messiah. And in her work, she constantly referred to his spiritual flowering out and the great work that the child does for the advancement and the building up of humanity. I think there could not have been a better person than Dr. Arundel and a better location than the international headquarters of the Theosophical Society to give this particular message or make it possible for this particular message to be given by Dr. Montessori. Yesterday, those of you who were here in the afternoon saw a film on Kalakshetra and Rukmini's work. And in that, we saw this wonderful picture of Dr. Montessori and Mario as it was more than 40 years ago. And we all realized what a beauty and a power flowed even from the picture as old as that, and what a tremendous influence she must have brought to her work. Of course, associated with Dr. Arundel was always Rukmini. And as we saw also in the film, and as I have seen at that time as the first, as a student of that first Montessori course in 1939, the training course for teachers, how much she worked actively in order to promote this work, to overcome tremendous difficulties of that time, and to strengthen this movement for the child in India. I personally believe that Montessori brought a new dimension to India's educational work. And for that privilege, we have to be eternally grateful to Dr. Arundel and Rukmini. after his passing away, a time at which Dr. Montessori was still in the country, Rukmini had the time, Rukmini had the trouble to carry on with the flowering out of that work, and from that wonderful center, just as we all feel as theosophists, that great radiations of spiritual light and enlightenment flow out into the world, I also feel that a great impetus for the understanding of the child and his work as a constructor of the human society and of human generations came out from our Adyar. So Rukmini, on behalf of the Montessoris, the whole family of the association of the Montessori work as it has flowered out in the Indian subcontinent, both India and Pakistan and Ceylon, as well as from all the members of the Theosophical Society in Pakistan, I offer to you our love, our gratefulness, our devotion, and our best wishes that you will be with us for many, many years to inspire us as you have done for all these years. A long time ago, you said something about inspiration. You said that inspiration, to be able to inspire, is the greatest thing in life. And it is through that quality that one can be enabled to carry on the work. May that inspiration remain with us always.
Moya, who was a man of great power and few words, he once used a few words to describe Our Lady as the exquisite jewel of the hierarchy. And I was thinking of why that description would be used, and I think it's because she's the star of the sea. That is, they use the phrase consolatrix afflictorum, Consoler of the Afflicted, which I think is a very beautiful title. And I think one might say that Rukmini Devi is the exquisite jewel of the Theosophical Society. And if you look at her career, throughout her career in the Theosophical Society and in the world, she has been promoting and practicing the religion of compassion and beauty. If you look at the emotions, you find, I feel, that the most beautiful of all emotions is compassion. It's the summation of all the evolutionary development of man ends in that one emotion. And the Hindus classify that as a single emotion, which, when it's directed upwards, is reverence. When it's directed amongst equals, it's unselfish love, and it's when it's directed towards those who are helpless, it's compassion, those who need help. And I think you might say that she has promoted beauty in the arts and crafts and daily living, but she's also emphasized as her keynote the most beautiful emotion. And she has not only spoken about it, she has also herself expressed it in action. And I'm here, I'm told, with the privilege of speaking for those who cannot speak for themselves. I'm an animal, and I'm here as an animal. And I would like to express the gratitude of the whole animal kingdom for for the tremendous work that Rukmini has done for us animals. I've been with her through the time, most of the time she's been doing that work. She was nominated to the upper house of the Indian Parliament, and in the whole 10 years that I was working with her there, I believe that the maximum effort she made was in the direction of changing the laws regarding the prevention of cruelty to animals. And finally, that culminated in the passing of the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act of 1960, which formed, I think, the first such board in the world, a board called the Animal Welfare Board, supported by the government, but autonomous and working to coordinate all the animal welfare work in the country. She has been chairman of that board for 18 years, from 1962 to 1980, and she devoted virtually half of her day through most of that period, whenever she was in Madras, to that work. And she has done a great deal of work in other directions. The basic keynote of it is helping those who are helpless, helping those who are suffering, suffering being the call for action. And I think it's quite an appropriate title, which I never thought of until today, that she could be called the exquisite jewel of the Theosophical Society.
Deviji, we want to congratulate you and feel it as an urge to express our thanks to you that from the beginning when we started, about 9 years ago, you have given us wholeheartedly support to our work. In one of your talks, you have once mentioned how this center should be an umbrella under which the different kind of activities feel at home, can operate, and feel protected. You have everywhere and always tried to spread the beauty, the truth, and the wisdom, and have protected the weak, as Peter said, compassion. You do see the Devi in every being. And from this inner knowing, you knew it was good to support the New Age Man Group, as the aim of this group is to offer a free platform for those people who want to share the beauty, the truth, and the old wisdom with the world. Sometimes, however, it was not recognized that our aim was such, but you, lover of the beauty, could recognize it in the very tiny little weed which seemed to sprout in this center. The weed grew and became a bouquet of flowers, giving inspiration to other groups and receiving a lot of love from others, thanks to your sympathizing with us and your support. Garland microphones, but also like to combine it with tradition. Each flower represents all the inspirations you share with this world and with us. Thank you, Rukmini, and may you soon recover from your backache, and we do hope really to have you many, many years with us. Thank you.
Of the order of the International Round Table. The Senior Council at its recent meeting has asked me to bring warmest congratulations at this celebration with loving thankfulness for all what you have done during the many years, 45 years, as the Senior Knight of our order. Pete Coward, a former Chief Knight of Holland, has already so beautifully expressed this. I will not go into it more, but I will only add that it was highly appreciated that though you arrived on the last day of the camp, very tired in the morning after a night flight, you still attended the last ceremony and talked to us, and so gave the young a chance to meet you and see you again. Then I have a greeting from Scandinavia. I regret to say that we are only two people from several countries there, but that doesn't mean they have forgotten you. I have here a little address with names and with a wish. To meet you, Rukmini, has been a great and inspiring event in our lives. We all love you. And I hope the present bishops don't mind that I use a very beautiful word from a high occasion in the bishop's life, saying ad multos annos, also to you.
As a former French General Secretary of the French Section and also representative of the French government in India, I have the privilege to convey to you the love and affection of many French members who regarded you as the great queenly inspiration. Many things have been said, therefore my task will be easier, because words are not able to convey the great inspiration which you have given not only to India but to the whole world in so many fields, because everywhere you have been bringing the magic touch of what could be said the divine. As the Indian ambassador said in 1949 at a UNESCO performance which he delivered in front of everybody, after having seen you, he said to the great audience there, Sarasvati has come amongst us. Well, do receive our gratitude and also our best wishes and congratulations. Your inspiration and example will last for centuries, not only in India, but all over the world.
I feel myself as being the point after a long long festivity. Well, dear Rukmini, there's one aspect in you which I love and admire so very much. That is the faithfulness of your friendship. Now I am speaking on behalf, I think, of the human family and families. And I remember Dr. Arendelle spoke about my faithfulness which knows no swerving. I think that's also something which lives in you very strongly. You are here now, in the midst of all of us, as a beautiful flower in full bloom, shedding the fragrance round about, the fresh atmosphere. And As we look at you, we see a kind of example, an example which I would call an example of true motherhood. I was glad that some of us, the exquisite jewel was mentioned, but I see that's the same aspect as this divine motherhood, which means so much to you. The motherhood has always in itself this great element of protection, of compassion, of helping the weak. And you have also, we can speak of our experience, shared in the happiness and in the sadness also, which have passed in our family. So we know how deeply you felt with us and helped us in this respect. I hope you may grow ever more into this divine motherhood. And I hope there will be greater mothers which may protect you and help you if you have difficulties to overcome.
A lot of admiration and thankfulness. For many Dutch people, it is difficult to express feelings of affection and thankfulness. Perhaps that's more or less the case for many of the Northern European peoples. But the Dutch have it especially. And when we were planning to have this celebration, I heard the word, no hero worship. So do nothing. And many Dutch people only like to be thankful when a person has passed away. But that is really a great pity. And that's a bit late, you see. And as to a hero worship, there is a side on it mentioned by Dr. Arendelle. He said, hitch your wagon to a star. That's go with someone who is big and follow him or her. I think we have gradually, in this center at least, overcome that difficulty of not being able to express our feelings. And I think it is a very good thing that during one's life we are able to express our gratitude and our happiness when there is a special occasion. But of course we may always do that. Well, I need not say how thankful we are, how happy we are that you have been 50 years conducting this center through peaks and through depths, and we have all various experiences. 50 years is a very long time, and we have also heard the words that we hope that you will continue to be our head for many years. Now, you have yourself been busy during, been occupied with the thought of who is going to follow you to be the future head of this center. And we may very well realize how difficult it is, because there is only one Rukmini Arendelle, and there is no one who is like Rukmini Arendelle. And I think we may be very, very proud that you are the person who has guided us, and I think it is a very great privilege that we can express our feelings today. Thank you. I will now call upon Eric and Monique for some music.
All right? Shall I stand up or sit down? All right. All these cameras are frightening me. I will see if I can stand up and talk. Marayan and Yeti and friends. Marayan says that Dutch people can't express their feelings in words. But I would like to say, sometimes Indians also cannot do so. And that happens to be myself. Because I do not know how to express my warm thanks and gratitude, not for the words that you have all spoken, but the feelings with which you have spoken those words. Because those things matter far more. Long time ago, when I was a girl of 16, and I was taken to meet Dr. Annie Besant, because I was presented to her by Dr. Arundel as the girl whom he was going to marry, and she wanted to see that girl. She looked at me, took me into her room, and asked me some questions. One was, are you a courageous person? I think strange question for somebody who's going to marry. I said, yeah, yes, I am. Can you stand opposition? I said, I can. And she looked at me and blessed me. And then she told Dr. Arundel that I had a great future. I did not know exactly what she meant, because I felt myself to be completely useless, because I had not even finished my education. But still, what she said was not so much what to be taken literally, but as a word of blessing. Because I was, from childhood, a devotee, devoted to the great teachers of humanity, but at that time brought up in the atmosphere of a Hindu home, particularly devoted to Sri Krishna, who was my ideal, and also to these great people, particularly Dr. Besant, because she symbolized for me something unexplainable, because she radiated such, not only influence, but radiated such tenderness and affection. And I thought that was so very beautiful. I think from that moment, I can now seriously agree with Yeti when she talked about faithfulness, because I have remained a devotee even till today and will continue to be in the future also. And then later on, when I was introduced to different people and I came to Europe, I was praised by people, and everybody said, you are this and you are that. Such wonderful things were said about me, even when I had done nothing. So I thought to myself, I don't know why I am being praised like this. And I took a vow that I will never, never succumb to praise and never allow it to turn my head. And from that time onwards, I thought I would have a tape measure and measure my brain to see whether it has become swollen with all the praise. But I find it's the same size as it was
at that time. Sri Krishna said not to be influenced by either praise or abuse. Well, I tried not to be influenced by praise. But later on, I got my share of abuse also. And I decided I shall practice the same principle with regard to abuse also. And how do you follow that thing? Not because you don't care, because you can't help it, you're a human being, but never to feel angry or annoyed or vindictive or enmity, no matter what anybody says or does. But to do what you think is right in life. And so I continued to do whatever I thought was right, whatever my heart moved me to do in the world. First and foremost, for a long time, I had no work of my own. My chief work was to help anybody who was doing something good. So I came here, and Dr. Arundel was sent all over the world by Dr. Besant for educational work. We traveled first for educational work in 24, when the Maharaja of Indore financed us for such a position. Then other kinds of work, spiritual work, religious work, whether it was Hinduism or whether it was Christianity or whatever it was. And particularly for young children of the world. That is how my attitude was when I came here to Huizen in 1924, when Dr. Arundel was invited to be present in the church for the ordination of a young person called Oscar Colostrum. I was not I never became a Christian in the sense of a form of Christianity, but I believed in the Christ, I believed in the Buddha, I believed in Sri Krishna, and there was no difference for me between them. The only followers of religions quarrel amongst each other, never the heads of religions or the founders. Can you imagine a world council composed of Sri Krishna, the Christ and the Buddha arguing with each other and having an opposition party? You can't imagine. It's only human beings that do that, I realized. But I was brought up in this atmosphere, and so it was all exactly the same. And that inspired me very, very much. But my heart was always inclined to art and beauty, particularly music. I always wanted to be a musician. But as I was a helper, I helped wherever there was need. And I took any opportunity that came to me. And as I was very devoted to art and education, and I loved children, I had the good fortune to share the work of Dr. Arundel in founding a school, which is still there, but though moved to another place. And also to learn from great masters, but the opportunity to came to learn dance, because the Anna Pavlova inspired me. And I had the opportunity. In fact, I took any opportunity that came to me to learn whatever I could. And so that destiny guided me. I did not plan anything. The only thing I said was that I was a rebel. I never followed what I was told to do. I was like to do what I felt to be my inspiration. So it was for me an inspiration to try this work. Both Dr. Besant, Dr. Arundel encouraged me in all this. And so I started a small little institution which I said was started with a child, a teacher, and a pupil. One of those little pupils, Sharda Hoffman, who is here. And I was the teacher. And the tree was always available because in Adyar there are a lot of mango trees and banyan trees and so on. But gradually that grew into something more beyond what I expected. In fact, everything in my life is a surprise to me. That's a fact, they believe it or not. That was a surprise to me. Then when I learned dancing, just for pleasure, and I thought, well, I'll entertain the audience when they come for the Diamond Jubilee. And there was such tremendous enthusiasm and praise, I thought to myself, is it possible that my dancing is so good? I inquired it, within myself. That was a praise. Then I thought to myself, evidently I have something to do along that line. So I established Kalakshetra. In order, don't think just to run an institution. My work in Kalakshetra is for India. Dr. Besant and Dr. Arundel and others were working for the freedom of India. But the greater freedom is not a political freedom, but a spiritual and a cultural freedom. The cultural life, which is spiritual, was dying. Because there was no sponsorship, there was no support. And so I thought, maybe it is my destiny, maybe. But how do you find out your destiny? You work and see how it happens. That's all. So, you see, it grew. And from that grew another piece of work, that was the animal welfare work. Because as Peter Hoffman has said, I have great feeling for animals. And so, I used to long to do something on the all India level to help the poor animals. And so, curiously enough, when India became independent, someone said to me, you must stand for election. You must be a member of parliament. I said, that's one thing I never will be. I don't want to be a politician. But you know, another lesson I learned in my life was never to speak anything too soon. Having said it, the next day came a communication from Pandit Nehru. We want to nominate you as a member of parliament. I was afraid of accepting it. I went to many great people like Rajagopalachari, who was the first governor general, and others. What can I do in parliament? I know nothing about it. He said, you can be very useful, you know, he said. I said, oh, can I? In what way? You can help women. You can, and then I said, nobody ever thought of animals. Very rarely people think of animals. So I said, can I help animals? He said, of course you can. I said, in that case, I accept. So it's really the animals that told me to accept. And then I accepted. And as was explained by Peter Hoffman, for 10 years, worked very hard for bringing a new legislation for the protection of animals. So things grew from one thing to another. But throughout all this activity, my cultural work and educational work continued. As was said, Madame Montessori came to India. She was a great admirer of the artistic work also. She was an artist, you know, really. Because she told me that first she wanted to be an actress, wanted to join the dramatic group. Then something led her to take up the work of a doctor. So everybody's destiny is already pre-planned. I think mine was. My coming to the center, which is what I really want to speak about, was also with the idea of being helpful. I never thought I was going to have to be a president of this foundation. Actually, Although it is true I've been president for 50 years, but till 1945, when Dr. Arundel passed away, he was the real director and the real force behind this center. I was president and did some work here and there, but we did it together. But unfortunately, this center passed through many crises. You know, Dr. Montessori said, wherever I go, there is trouble, she said. I was in Italy, Mussolini came. He wanted children to have guns and war materials, and I ran away from there. I went to Spain to work there. And there was Franco. And again, there was dictatorship. I left there. Then I came to Holland and worked there. You invited me to India. And I came to India. And very soon, there was trouble in India, and Pakistan came into existence. I seem to bring trouble wherever I go, she said. I said, you don't bring trouble, you come ahead of trouble in order to solve the problems for the future. And you're working for the future generation, the little children who you call divine and who are little messiahs, the bambino, divine bambino, she used to say. Well, that was also a great opportunity. So this many opportunities have come to me, and I consider working in this center as a very great opportunity in my life. Whether I deserve all this praise or not, I do not know. I'm going to measure my head again after this meeting. But I am very grateful because I value very much friendship. And affection has been a chief keynote in my life, besides that feeling of love and compassion. And therefore, that has conquered all the difficulties I have had. And I think I can say with my clear conscience, I think I can say it, that I have never felt less affection for anyone. And nothing has ever interfered with my affection for my many friends known and unknown. And I hope, of course you know very well, none of us can be perfect. Of course not. I have many things which are hidden from you. And so I know. But that doesn't matter. I never look for perfection, not even in great people. That's why I'm never disillusioned. Sometimes people ask, are you disillusioned? I said, no, because I have no illusions. You only get disillusioned when you have got illusion. No, I don't expect perfection. If you take the Ramayana, even Sri Rama, the great one, when he came and met Sita, who had been through the fire, he says to her, I am after all a human being, he says. I am after all a human being, he says. And so, if they say that, please remember that we all must say, but the motive, the attitude, the inspiration with which we work, the sincerity, those things are the most important. And human relationship, and with it the relationship with all people and nature and all living things, is the most precious thing that we can think of and work for. You all say, may you live a long time. Well, I have no particular wish. I don't want to have any wish, either to live or not to live. Let it be whatever happens. But I am rather glad. I am, for two reasons. One, that I had only 20 birthdays. That because I was born on 29th of February. And I'm also glad that I'm 80. Because many, many difficulties and all kinds of experiences have gone, finished. Finished in this life. I've only got to have new ones. And so it's a very nice, happy thing. That's why I feel a very great love and sympathy for all young people. Because I told them, yes, I was young too. Look at the young people, how they had to face the war, how they had to face so many difficulties in the world. I feel, I hope and pray that you will never have the such suffering in the future, that your future will be just as happy as you are today. That's my prayer for the young people. And it's nice. And if you have the suffering, then know how what to do with it. Don't care. One way or the other. And so, keep happy or under every circumstance and be inspired by the beautiful and don't bother about the ugly. That is very important. And have a sense of humor too. These are very important things. So you see, this is my philosophy of life, which I have conveyed to you. I do not know how to thank all the people who have said such beautiful things to me. And it was Marian's inspiration that there should be a celebration of the Golden Jubilee and also my birthday. But I thought this was a Jubilee meeting and I discovered it's a birthday meeting. So I hope this Golden Jubilee will give me the inspiration to discover somebody who will direct this center, because it's a beautiful place, beautiful atmosphere, who will direct this center in the future and will carry on for the many, many years to come. I think it's not right that a person should want to possess any position. And I do not wish to possess. But I would like to see somebody, a great person. Because what we need in this world now is greatness. Not people. We have got a lot of them. Of course, we like all people are great in a way. But still, somebody who knows how to inspire, how to uplift, how to plan, how to give guide, and how to lead the world to a more beautiful future. That is the important thing. And I am sure amongst our children, there are a large number of very outstanding people. I do not know which one. I am sure there must be, and someone whose destiny it is will continue this great work. Don't think it is belonging to organizations that's important. I've helped many of them, yes. But it's the spirit of it. After all, if you say, well, I am a theosophist, I'm doing it. I don't do anything because I am a theosophist. I try to help because I am an individual. And theosophy can look after itself. I don't have to look after it. If my life is right, automatically everything else is right, whether I am a Hindu or Buddhist or whatever it is. So, do not do something. You know, sometimes, if I may mention, with respect, some missionaries do very good work, wonderful work in India. But they say they are doing it because they are Christian. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. I have met some missionaries who have tried to convert me also. I said, but why don't you do it just because you love the people, you want to help? Supposing you are not a Christian, would you not do it? Then I don't know. Some of them have said. But of course, many of them do it out of goodness of heart. But still, it is because your heart dictates you to do something and the urge is in you, no matter what the opposition, go ahead and do it. That is how I feel. And so, ultimately, whatever good we try to do is part of every religion, part of every organization which stands for the right things. And so, I, of course, don't think, therefore, I am not a member of the Theosophical Society. I do, but I am Rukmini. I want you merely to think of me as that. And I am very happy to be here amongst you as a friend and to thank you sincerely for all that you have said and thought and felt. But more than that, I thank Marayan and Yeti and Yo and Meel and many others who have planned this surprise for me. I had no idea what was going to happen. And it was a kind thought. And it is the first birthday I have ever celebrated in this center. That's a fact. This is the first. And perhaps it may be the last, I do not know. But anyhow, I don't want another celebration like this. It will be too good. So, because you know, it's a secret. I was born on the 29th of February. If they want to celebrate again, they must wait 4 years more. And I'm not going to give you that opportunity. So thank you all once again, and let us close this meeting with a few moments of silence, and then we go to be photographed.